Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the United Religions Initiative, Global Indigenous Initiative, and Now Time Radio's presentation of Indigenous Voices. Indigenous Voices airs every other Thursday on Now Time Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Indigenous Voices features Indigenous artists, activists, wisdom keepers, and spiritual leaders raising their voices to bring messages from an Indigenous perspective on cultural heritage, women and children, the environment, our relationship to Mother Earth, preservation of sacred sites, human rights, spirituality, religion, and interfaith. The United Religions Initiative is a global grassroots interfaith network that cultivates peace and justice by engaging people to bridge religious and cultural differences and work together for the good of their community and the world. To join the call during Indigenous Voices on Now Time Radio, call 424-243-9656. You may also live stream or listen to the podcast at any time at www.blogtalkradio.com/Now Time Radio. Welcome to Indigenous Voices once again. Today on Now Time Radio, I am your host, Audrey Scott Williams. Over the past few weeks, we have journeyed to the Andes in Peru, the islands of Hawaii, and today we head east to Siberia, Russia, to the sacred lands of the Republic of Altai. And my guests today are Zoya Tishkashiva and Galina Ermolina. Zoya is an Indigenous Altaian, and Galina will provide translation and commentary. Now, this program was pre-recorded last week, as you can imagine, trying to work with time zones. And you will notice that in the recording, Zoya is often heard in her traditional language, and then we fade, and Galina does the translation to what Zoya is saying. It is important to us here on Now Time Radio that we give the voice of people, rather wherever they are in the world, our Indigenous wisdom keepers, an opportunity to be heard in their natural language, because language has a vibration. It has a certain energy. And in this case, it's really important because the Altaian language has many words that are similar in Native American languages in North America. In fact, what I learned through research and in conversations with Zoya and Galina is that the root language of the Altaian culture, Indigenous culture, is found in sacred languages around the world. Those root languages are very similar. And it's very interesting because I've been in a situation in South Africa with the Zulu language and the ancient Hawaiian language, and there were words that were similar as well. So it's important that we allow the language of each of our guests to be heard. And so I want you to enjoy our program today. I'm going to begin. I asked Galina, because she has been involved with the United Religions Initiative for some time now, is a part of a cooperation circle, Euro-Asia. And I asked her, what's the significance or what's the connection between the United Religions Initiative and the work of that she does with the Altaian Indigenous people? And so I wanted to just play her comment and answer to that question.
What message our family, what gift do we get from this opportunity?
So I think being in your right and following the ideas and the principle of your right, this is what I'm trying to do in my activity. And so it helps us what we are trying to do. We are making bridges between the nationalities, between the traditions, and between the religions. And actually, before all of us, I think, before coming, joining the URI, we have been doing the same. And only now, when we are like a URI family, it means we.
And so you got to hear how the bridging aspect of the work that we do, the bridge cultures to bridge peace initiatives and interfaith for justice and global peace are so important. And so the work that we do with the global indigenous is weaving all people into this fabric. And so I'm very, very honored to have this opportunity. Let's begin now our journey into Altai.
Altai Republic is about 500 kilometers to the south it has borders with three countries, and it has a border with Mongolia, Kazakhstan, and the Tuva. The people of Altai managed to preserve their spiritual roots and of the ancestors, in spite of the time when all religious, to say nothing about paganism and shamanism, were considered to be opium of people. And I have been to Altai many, many, many times. And what attracts me there, it is known that when God created the planet, our planet Earth, he created a paradise. We know as above, so below. And as people believe that the whole planet was a paradise on all the levels. Of course, it's an allegory, right? But what it means, how I understand the Tenurate and many other people, this is a piece of land which is beautiful, but there are so many beautiful places all over the planet. What is special about this place? It is beautiful on all the levels. For our eyes, yeah, it's amazingly beautiful. It has 10 regions. Every region is different from the places where they can grow all fruits and vegetables till where nothing can grow. It is very close to Mongolia. And the energies. What is special about Altai? What is unique there? Nature is so powerful. There is a direct, I would say, direct exchange of energies between the heavens and the earth. This is, for me, this is the most important thing. And people who live there, they manage to preserve the wisdom of their ancestors. And they have this wisdom, they call it bilik. And I know the people, great people, just teachers or just simple people living in the villages who collected all this wisdom in the books. And by the way, bilik has been translated by one English a young woman into English as well. So much is said about special spiritual role of Altai for the whole mankind. And during the last two decades, Altai attracts more and more people. And so the main idea, I love Altai so much, but what I want to underline, this area is not spoiled by people. It is not spoiled like nature as nature, about the surroundings of nature, environment problem. It exists, but not as much as maybe in many, many places. But what is more important, the spirit of nature do exist there. She belongs to the generation of shamans. They, when they have the ceremonies, they do it in a quiet atmosphere, trying not to disturb the spirit, trying not to disturb the heavens and the nature. When a newcomer comes to Altai, he or she should be ready, to come with a great respect, try to be open with nature and with people. And then Altai, so Zoya says, she takes groups of the people who are ready for Altai, and she takes them sometimes to the foot of the sacred mountain Biluha. I have sent to you a photo of it, and to the waterfalls. And when people from the city go to the sacred land, they very often, even being more or less ready for this, they bring food, different kinds of food, and the habits to Altai. And after spending 3 days near that sacred mountain, after having got so much special energy being in the Altai land, on the Altai land, they still managed to get something good for the soul, for themselves. And she is sure, even if we people want to keep the people away from our sacred land or from very special holy places, we cannot do it. This is civilization. This is development. And she says, what I managed to notice that this is very important, not even to protect the land from the people coming, but maybe to teach the people what you can do or what is forbidden there. They should know the rules of the land. And Zoya and I, we know the special, let's say, special national park where we know the people working there. It is Uchenmek and other national parks, but it is not just national park of nature, but it is spiritual, where they are teaching it, and where they are saying that when, and that is what Zoya says as well, when people come and try to revive they're not trying to revive, but it happens. They stay there near this sacred place, this holy place, and there is an exchange of energy, and the place starts working again. If, because of some reason, it was forgotten or something. This is a very complicated thing, but it's important.
What wisdom can Altai share with the people of the planet? What can we learn from Altai?
Ну, мудрых мест очень много, и мудрых людей на свете много. Поэтому сказать, что Алтай именно такой мест. Другое просто хочу рассказать. Вот я разговаривала с шаманом, спросила, что такое конец света, по его пониманию. Да, и бабушка моя. Хочет, наверное, сказать, что бабушка говорила.
So, Zoe says that there are many holy places all over the planet. And I don't want to say that all Altai is the best or something. But let's look at the modern life. What is maybe the problem number one today? The problem is drinking water. And I can tell you that we in Altai, we manage to preserve our water pure. And Zoya says that you can drink actually from any creek, from any stream, from any river and lake in Altai, and it will be pure. And because, as she had said before, that people are very, very respectful to water. And I remember from my childhood, she says, that our grandmother, she would say, they do not spit into the water. If you drink the water, and the person of Altai would like to wash his face, he would take in this handful of water from the river, for example, and would put it away. He wouldn't wash his face above the water. He would do it away on the bank of the water. And our attitude to the nature itself is very respectful, even when we are near some holy place and we start worshipping. We address, first of all, we address Altai-in, means like Altai God. And then we say Altai Kudai. Kudai, this is, they have a lineage of gods, and Altai Kudai is the god of Altai. So Altai itself, Altai nature goes as number one, and then Altai Kudai as the god.
Ну, поскольку я с детства воспитана таким вот отношением большим с таким вот как
разборщики, это называется по-английски.
Да, ну с таким поклонением относящей воды. Я раньше думала так, я без отца и без гор не могу жить, да? Вот теперь я поняла, что я без воды чистой не могу жить.
Zoe says that because I think you understand how much I'm attached to Altai, and when I moved to Novosibirsk, I thought I can't live with Altai, without Altai. But then I realized that I can't live without water. And that is why the people whom I take to the waterfall practice, I just choose them. Not everyone, I wouldn't take everyone to go with me. And during a few months, we are in the process of preparing for this waterfall practice. And I myself and some of my friends join me. We very often, we pour cold water. It doesn't matter what season is it now. We just pour ourselves from the top, we pour water from the top, the cold water. And then in Russia, in winter time, it is in Russian, is very popular, the so-called movement of walrus, when they're called walrus, when in winter time they make a hole in ice and not dive, but swim in this hole on ice. And she says, during when we go to Altai, and I know a few very powerful waterfalls, when we go there, and before she has told me about the practice and the method, how they do it, it's very important that the water falls down on the top, the crown chakra of the body. It's just 1 second, 1 moment, but it's very important.
Ага, хочу сказать, вот, что вы это обязательно делаете, ладно? Я в свое время была одержима найти себе учителя, да? На сегодняшний день я поняла, что есть один учитель – это природа. Все мы люди со всеми тараканами, да? Но есть один учитель – это природа в данный момент.
Yes, so Zoe said that from my young years, I was looking for a teacher, my sex, for the spiritual teacher. And I failed to find a teacher for myself. And then I realized that the teacher for me is nature.
И почему я это говорю? Потому что я очень много людей встречаю, которые говорят, мы вот ауру видим, да? Мы людей насквозь видим, вот такое. Для меня аура человека – это настолько божественная, настолько тайная история. Если бы мы все видели ауру человека, мы уже бы все жили уже в космосе.
And these days, there are many people, actually many people who pretend, oh, I am so high in spirituality, I can see aura of the people. And Zoya thinks that to see aura of the people, to really see aura of the people, is such a thing which is not everyone is able to do it. If each one of us would be able to see aura, then would we not here on the earth? We would belong to heavens, maybe.
Yes. Yes. Да. И вот когда бываешь на водопаде, это ли не знаю, но я хочу сказать, вот за 10 лет, которые я вожу людей на водопад, я вот у двоих или у троих только увидела ауру под водопадом.
А какого цвета?
Водопад.
Нет, аура.
Аура, она разная у людей, да, у кого, да. И что хочу сказать, еще в водопаде я стала видеть тотемы, мы же сейчас тотемы все люди забыли, как бы, я у двоих увидела тотемы.
She said, during the last 10 years, when I have been taking the people in summertime to Altai for this water practice, only maybe 2-3 times I myself have seen aura of the people, 2-3 people. And the aura was of different beautiful colors. And what I have noticed that I started to see like totems of the people. It is like that the people maybe think about it, and the idea of totems is being revived. So I see them sometimes.
И многие мои друзья знаю, да, приходят со мной на водопад и говорят, посмотри, какой у меня тотем, какая аура. И это же не от меня зависит, что ты под водопад зашли, увидели. И как это происходит, я по себе не могу объяснить, да? Это
не всегда вам удается.
Нет, не всегда показывают. Это не я же, бы водопад открывать, природа открывать. Видимо, по высоте духовного развития показывает вот
это. And sometimes I have told a few people that sometimes I can see a totem. And then I try to explain to them it doesn't happen on a wish of someone. It is not me. It's not like I wish and I see. No, it just happens. I cannot exactly explain how it happens, but I understand that nature let me sometimes, or nature, or spirits of nature, let me sometimes see these images, totems.
She mentions the importance of keeping the Altai language pure. And I was wondering if she could speak to that, because many of the indigenous groups that I work with, one of the things that they're working very hard to do is to recover and preserve their languages. So since she made that statement, I was wondering if she could just comment on that.
Они меняются, туда вносятся чуждые элементы, и они, люди теряют язык. Ну и вот вы, как филолог, вот что вы можете сказать о...
Одри, я вернусь к мудрой своей бабушке, которая...
Again with my grandmother.
Она для меня остается самой такой мудрой.
She is the most wise person for me.
Да, ну вот она говорила так. Я всегда спрашиваю.
My grandmother, because we used to, my father, he was a shepherd, and we used to live in highlands of Altai, and the time had come when people wanted to be more and more civilized, that more and more the so-called civilization would come to us as well, and we children. And then young people, they would ask why we would like to be as civilized as the other world. And my grandmother used to tell us, we people of high land, we are highlanders. We live among the mountains. And while we live here, nobody can conquer us. Nobody can win us. And now she will speak about language.
Ну, теперь отвечаю на ее вопрос. Да. Значит, да.
Is that today everywhere, and even in Aiel. Aiel is a small hut, wooden hut of the native Altaian people. And so the people have TV sets, they have radio, they have mobiles, they have whatever. Most of the things of civilized world, and so they get information. That is why they take words, foreign words, like from English, from German language, from Russian. It's not like a foreign, but still. And they use these words as well. But what Zoya wants to underline, they use these words in, let's say, everyday life. But when it concerns something more deep, when they speak about wisdom of Altai, about traditions of Altai, ceremonies of Altai, you would never hear anything from a foreign language. It will be pure Altaian language.
И еще сейчас очень большое внимание к Алтаю, да, и алтайцы, местное население, да, и русские, или казахи, которые живут, они поняли, насколько Алтай сам по себе богат, ну, вот, внимание людей, и вот все возвращается к своему родному, да, вот, шапкам, одежде.
Zoe says that Altai language belongs actually to Turkic family, linguistic family. And we can consider it to be a foundation for 46 other languages which are very close to us. Then, another thing, we see everywhere the influence of the so-called civilization. People from all over the world would come to Altai, and we see that many people are more and more interested in Altai. And you know what is happening? More and more young people of Altai, even if they live in the city, in the capital of Altai, Governor Altai, they started to wear some pieces of traditional costume. It could be a cap. It could be maybe a jacket. Or it could be boots. But traditional, and they are proud of it, then this is good.
Про язык хочу сказать, да, например, я, будучи филологом, изучаю майянский язык, изучаю тибетский язык, и в то же время мне интересен вот индейцев, да, потому что я на Алтае была у Чурлуот, который Маша проводила. Я там видела индейскую, да?
Zoya, quite recently in summertime, she has been to Tibet and Nepal, and she can compare the Tibetan traditions and the language with the Altaian. And before, here in Altai, we both of us, we were together at the meeting of the indigenous people from Northern America and with Altai, and they, when they compared the language, they saw many general rules in the language. And then she herself did comparative linguistics between Altai language and Mayan language more than 10 years ago. And so she says, that is why comparing the language, I have come to the conclusion that that we in Altai, we managed to preserve the roots, the wisdom of our language, and which is we consider to be has so much with the, let's say, first language. As we remember from the Bible, God was the first, or everything starts with the word. Let's look at such word which is which is very familiar for the people living in the USA, Alabama. And in Altaian language, it means al. Mm-hmm. Al means take. And Bama, Abama, and Abama, it means sacred knowledge. So what it means, Alabama? Take sacred knowledge.
Abama is a greatly. Родители.
Ага. Обама, it is like ancestors, great parents of us. So, I would say that it is very important to the core of each language, and that's what people in Altai try to do.
Я скажу словами бабушки, да? Mm-hmm. Она говорила так. Теперь я добавлю, просто обобщу.
Да-да-да.
Услышав язык тибетцев и поклонение религии Боон, да, посмотрев вот индийскую, да, марианскую,
майянскую,
я поняла, это места силы и это места обращения к Богу. Вот эти языки, это язык богов. Я думаю, что народ, который верит, вот человечество, придет к этим языкам.
Mm-hmm. After visiting some of these places I have mentioned before, I have spoken to the people from there and indigenous people. Mm-hmm. Nepal, and I know a little bit about my own language, mm-hmm. I have come to the conclusion that these places where people use these native languages, they are holy places. They are sacred places. These are the places which are more close to God, where the God is. And these are the places where people address or have communication with the God or with the highest power.
You know, it's two things I wanted to comment on, Galina and Zoya. First of all, I live in Alabama, so I appreciate that. I live in Alabama.
No.
Yes, that's where I am. That's where I'm right now.
Oh, great.
Это значит, она живет на родине предков. Это как бы человечество.
So this is like Zoya says, it's a land of the ancestors. Maybe the ancestors of the humanity.
The other comment that I wanted to just share, I was very fascinated with the language issue or the language conversation, because when I was with an organization called the Worldwide Indigenous Science Network, we would escort elders, and I was a part of a team that escorted elders from Hawaii to South Africa to meet with an elder there, a Zulu elder there, Baba Credo Mutwa. And when they were together, Baba Credo Mutwa asked them to speak their ancient Hawaiian language, and he would speak in his ancient Zulu language. And they had very similar words and could understand each other in the ancient language. And so when I was listening to Zoya, I was remembering that. And when she said that understanding comes when people are from very sacred places, I could really understand that in my heart, having had that experience.
Okay, now she wants to translate the word Hawaii in Altahan language.
Hawaii, это люлька, где ребенок рождается.
Oh, this is a cradle where a baby не рождается, it's a cradle for the baby.
Да.
This is Hawaii. Oh, maybe. Как вы произносите?
Hawaii.
Hawaii. They pronounce it Hawaii.
Африка – это колесница богов.
Abraka. Okay. Mm-hmm. She says Africa, but she pronounces it as Abraka. Very close. It means a chariot of God. It is not completely coincidence, but still, it is very, very much sounds the same.
И там гора Килиманджаро.
Килиманджаро, the mountain Килиманджаро.
Чисто алтайское слово.
This is Altaian word.
Кель
means come.
Да, мен это я, мою. Мою сторону, яр.
So it means come to my side, Килиманджаро. It's very important. Altaian people, they never ask God or spirit, give me something. They always are thanking.
Yes.
Поэтому мы ничего у Бога не просим. Бог нам все дал.
God has given us everything. We do not ask for anything.
Поэтому надо прочесть Алкыш. Это называется Алкыш.
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 So it is called Alkish in Altaian language.
Alkish, это переводится, переведу, чтобы я перевела.
Uh-huh.
Albiri.
So Alkish means Al, take.
Бери, это совершенно. То есть чистота, самое сокровенное. Даю самое сокровенное, отдаю самое сокровенное.
So it means I am giving to you the...
Или делюсь самое сокровенное.
Or I am sharing with you what is the most pure,
ну, вначале, как я сказала, в самом благодарении первым стоит у нас слово
Алтай.
Алтай состоит из двух слов. Ал, бери. Тай, жертвуй.
So, Алтай, there are many versions of what it means. Зоя gives this version. Ao means the tea, and the tai sacrifice.
Да, поэтому so, когда
Да.
Когда я людей вожу на Алтай, я говорю, с Алтая ничего не надо, ни камни, ничего. Алтай, прибывайте.
And when I take the people to Altai, I always tell them, please do not take anything material from Altai, like a doll or something.
Mm-hmm.
Just be there. Алтай will give you the rest.
И когда я была в Тибете, я не взяла ни один фотоаппарат, ни кинокамеру. Я говорила, что она мне будет отвлекать. Mm-hmm. Я хочу там
прибывать. I didn't take even a camera with me, because the camera will, I will pay more attention to camera, forgetting about other things. That is why I just was there.
Ну, теперь Алкаш.
Yes, Алкаш now.
Я буду тихо каждое слово выговаривать, если там есть люди, которые понимать будут мой язык, чтобы им было понятно.
I will try to speak very distinctively, and if people, especially
каждое
let's say indigenous people of the United States, would listen to me, I hope very much they would understand me.
Үш құрбыстан құдайым, ақ аяс, көк аяс, ақ жайығым, ақ мүмкі суларым, аржан құтық туларым. Ах мүмкі туларым, аржан құтық суларым. Ах чечекті алтайым, ақ малы жайылған алтайым, албаты жоным жұртаған алтайым, адай енем жұртаған алтайым, аға қарындажымның алтайым, алқы бойым алтайым, азыраған балам алтайым, от ошығым алтайым, оп қоруй алтайым, оп қоруй.
For you, Зоя.
Ну, Алтай для меня прежде всего это родина. Это земля моих предков.
First of all, Altai is my motherland. This is the land of my ancestors.
А я чистокровная алтайка.
I am a pure Altaian woman.
Ну и Алтай для меня это место, куда я вернусь домой обратно.
And Altai is the place for me.
Вы имеете в виду, что навсегда как бы оставить?
Да, да. She means not just she visits Altai all the time, but to stay there to the rest of her life.
Вот. И второе, вот я же много читаю лекции по Алтаю, по вообще по России, да, по городам. И я всегда говорю, что Алтай для меня это место богов, это рай. Я родилась в раю, я живу на земле богов.
Зоя, she is a very good lecturer, and she used to teach at some point, and now from time to time she is invited to different audiences, and she tells the people there about Altai. And normally she starts with such a phrase: "I was born in Altai. This is my motherland, and I was born in paradise."
Значит, что хочу сказать? Я говорю это не того, что я алтайка, просто я очень много езжу по я всю Россию объездила, все 15 республик. Я еще была в Камбодже, Малайзии, Вьетнаме, Таиланде, Тибете, Непале, в Индии. И видя вот эти страны, мне всегда интересны страны, именно близкие к природе. Вот повидав немало, а может быть и много, я просто сравниваю. Действительно, Алтай – это земля богов, это действительно райская земля. Мы, алтайцы, благодаря своей вот любви к природе, почитанию природе, как живой природе, да, мы сохранили Алтай ее единственным видом.
Zoya wants to say that she has been to many places all over Russia, all over the former Soviet republics, 15 republics, with lectures or just visiting. And she has mentioned a few Asian countries she has visited. This is Malaysia, Cambodia, Thailand, Tibet. What else?
Vietnam,
etc.
Nepal.
And and comparing her impression, she liked many things there, but comparing what she felt there, even admiring, and with the Altai, she has come again and again to the confirmation that Altai is the land of gods. Altai is a paradise.
One of the things that I became very much aware reading your writing and doing some research as well is there is so much beauty as I looked at the pictures and the people, the indigenous people of Altai. I wanted her to talk a little bit about the relationship between the people of Altai and the nature.
Мы поклоняемся горам, мы поклоняемся все вокруг наше живое, деревья живые, камни живые, реки живые, горы, скалы, все вокруг нас, все живое. Поэтому мы к Алтаю относимся как к живому организму, как часть нашей философии. Это наш ритм жизни.
This is to begin from then. The Altai and nature, we are one. We are so much connected, we indigenous people of Altai, we are so much connected with nature. This is our God, this is nature, is our religion, our faith. And we in Altai, we do not have churches or cathedrals, a mountain, a lake, a river. This is our cathedral. And we, our attitude to these places of nature is like worshipping. And we come to them at a certain time and with a great respect.
Я еще добавила, Зоя, что мы ходим туда в особое время.
So I have added from myself that we, it is like rhythm of life. And we can go to the river, for example, up to the certain point. Never at the 6 p.m.
Еще надо добавить, что мы и живем по лунному календарю, и у нас есть зима и лето, когда мы делаем ритуалы, и как мы обращаемся к природе.
So we, people of Altai, we live according to the moon calendar. Also, of course, in everyday life we use normal calendar, but this is our Altaian moon calendar. And that is why we have ceremonies in the, actually they have ceremonies twice a year. They are big ceremonies. Summer ceremony and winter, and in between as well.
Я скажу, что мои родители чубаны, я родилась высоко в горах, поэтому у нас было особое трепетное отношение к природе. Мы все делали обращение к природе, ритуалы мы делали на растающую луну, а на убывающую луну наши родители и бабушки говорили, что земля отдыхает, ее нельзя тревожить. Все, что мы послали на восходящее солнце, и вот в ожидании должно быть такое.
Zoya wants to underline that we in Altai do whatever, if we do any ceremony, or if we start something very important, then we do it when the moon is rising, at the first days of the new moon, waxing moon, right? And the rest, the last maybe 10 days before the new moon, we give an opportunity for the land, for the spirits of the land to rest. We try not to bother them, to disturb them very much during these days.
И еще бабушка моя, которая шаманка, да, мы вставали с восходом солнца, и мы прекращали все дела с заходом солнца. Если мы не успели с родника взять воду после захода солнца, она нас к воде не отпускала. Она говорила, что вода спит, дух воды спит, его нельзя тревожить. Если мы остались без воды, она говорила так, это наказание, учитесь.
Zoya's grandmother, she was a shaman in the sixth generation, and she was very strict about these rules. If, for example, we wanted to take water from the spring or from the river, we should do it before sunset. If we children, it was our duty. If we didn't manage to do it, she would never let us go to the river and take water. She said, okay, you will do without water. This is a kind of a punishment for you so that you remember.
И еще бабушка, ну не бабушка, а наши предки, это уже как бы заложено это. Мы никогда не пилили или не готовили дрова, растущие деревья, да, дерево. Мы собирали дрова, топили же дровами, только которые вот упало и вот такое старое. Да, для нас дерево это живое, ее нельзя убивать.
Yeah, what she said, very important. She said that because the people live mostly in houses, wooden houses, and they use wood for their stoves. So she said, we would never cut living tree. We would take only for the wood, for logs, only the tree which is dry, which had fallen down, which we can take from the earth, from the surface. And it was very strict because everything is living. We cannot kill the living substance.
Также мы Алтайцы относимся к воде, вот, допустим, все родники, оно имеет начало и конец, да? Мы никогда к началу роднику и вот перешагивать, помните, я говорила, не разрешается, потому что мы знаем, что вот мы, люди, должны пребывать здесь, у нас есть свое место, а там выше это место духов, это выше более высоких таких вот.
Another important thing is an attitude to water. whatever water is, especially to the springs. In Altai, there are a lot of springs. They're falling down from the mountain, from the rocks. And it is very much strictly forbidden for the people to go to climb the mountain and to stand at the top where this spring starts. It is very strictly forbidden because we should stand somewhere at the bottom or nearby, but never go up.
Также вот мой папа был очень хорошим охотником, очень сильным, и он никогда не стрелял парнокопытных, это моралы, олени, да, и если он ходил на охоту, то ходил на охоту только вот на сухов, на лис, он никогда не трогал рыси, он никогда не трогал, значит, белого барса, да, он считал, что это животное, это духа Алтая, то есть вот это его, вот есть животные для людей, скажем, да, звери, а есть звери, которые принадлежат вот более высоким вот духом и так далее. Поэтому он очень у нас, то есть тотем, антитотем, да, вот такие вот моменты очень.
Now Zoe speaks about importance of totem.
Uh-huh.
And if there are totem, the animals, then there should be the so-called anti-totem animals. And that is why there are hunters, people are hunting there. There are a lot of woods in many places of Altai, so the hunters would never hunt such animals as deer, kabargas, and marals, all the deer of this kind, because they are considered to be sacred. They belong to someone as a mascot, as a totem. And you know that Altai is famous for the snow bars. Snow leopard, and this is like a king animal,
yes.
And it is completely forbidden. It's a great sin to kill them. The people the hunters can hunt such small animals which live in the caves, in the small caves, like mouses, like chipmunks. Of this family.
Uh-huh. Ну, вот, мы из рода Тодош, uh-huh. Да, у Тодошев, у нас тотем есть старший тотем, есть младший тотем, ну, я тотема, поэтому у нас заяц это самый младший тотем, поэтому мы никогда не ловим заяц, мы роликов не едим. Uh-huh. Мы по сей день никто, вот если нас родственников 350 человек, по сей день из рода Тодош никто ни кролика, ни зайца не убил и не съел.
I asked Zoya about hair, white hair, because I have seen as a totem, as a mascot of one shaman, the hair. And so Zoya explained, she belongs to Todosh. They call their tribes like Sok, it sounds Sok. So she belongs to Tadosh Sok. And she said, we, Tadosh, we never eat rabbits or hares. Because in our faith, in our tradition, there are, let's say, two kinds of this mascot, like the highest level and the smallest level. And the hare, they belong to the smallest one, but it doesn't mean that it is the lowest one.
I was reading about the blue wolf, and I was really quite captivated by that story because I have a native...
What story? You mean Zoya's story?
Zoya's story, when she was talking about the wolf and the wolf in the culture.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yeah.
I wanted her to talk about the wolf, and especially the blue wolf, because it bridges, it shows the bridge between Russia and the Native Americans.
Одри, я вообще по профессии филолог. Вот, у меня несколько профессий, одна из них филолог. Поэтому я изучаю слова, названия городов, земель, озер, гор и так далее. Вот если посмотреть все американские названия гор, рек, озер на индейском языке, все эти слова на моем языке тоже есть. И оно переводится. Вот примерно скажу «канзас». Да?
Mm-hmm.
«Канзас» – это чисто, если по-алтайски сказать, это «канзас». «Канзас» – это место, где раскуривали трубку. «Канза» – это трубка.
So, what she wants to say, she said, to begin with, she has a few diplomas, and one of Zoya's diploma is a philology. And that is why doing research on the languages, doing comparative linguistics, she has come to the understanding that there is a great similarity between the language of Altai and some of the tribes of America. So she has given as an example the word Kansas City,
mm-hmm.
and she pronounced it in Altai language as Kansas, something like this, and it means the Kansas, it means the place where people smoking their pipes.
Ну, а теперь на вопрос про волка.
Ага, now about wolves.
Uh-huh. По нашей мифологии, по нашей легенде, да, мы алтайцы, наши предки – это голубая волчица. То есть мы дети голубой волчицы.
Mm-hmm. So, according to our faith, we Altaian people are the children of the blue wolf, she wolf.
Mm-hmm.
So she is our ancestor.
Есть мифология такая, что наших предков выкормила сироту, выкормила голубая волчица.
According to our legend, our ancestors were fed by the milk of the blue wolf, she wolf, mother wolf. It's like in Rome.
Да, у нас на Алтае вообще волк очень почитаемый, одним из зверей таких.
A wolf is very much respected in Altai.
И только очень сильные шаманы имеют вот такой вот тотемный, не тотемный, а такой вот силу волчицы, силу волка.
And only very strong shamans can afford to have as a totem or maybe as a spirit who is leading them to have a wolf as a spirit leading them as a totem for them.
И они вот в ритуальном костюме, в одежде могут иметь там лапу волка или там когда бубен бьют или голову волка, да, как шапку.
And Zoya said when they do a ceremony or ritual, they have a special costume for this, and one attribute of the costume could be something belonging to a wolf, not a natural head, or maybe a paw of a wolf, or something which shows that it used to belong to wolf. It could be a replica. There was Zoya reminded me, asked me if I have written about it, that when she heard inside herself like energy of wolf, her first impression was she was very much afraid. She was feared. I don't remember.
Ну вот я случай расскажу, когда-то в пору своей молодости, только-только начинала, да, я была у одного шамана, и привезли мы туда маму полечить, да, и вот, и шаман, значит, одевал, и ей говорит, ну, шаманил, через какое-то время ей говорит, я, говорит, вызвал силу, я, говорит, попросил волка, медведя, там, ну, каких-то своих тотемов, и он говорит, пришла, говорит, волчица, и силой волчицы, говорит, я только смог тебя вытащить.
She has given an example. She was young, very young, now she's 52, and my mother was very much ill. So I have brought her to one shaman whom I knew as a powerful one. And then he started to call his teacher wolf. And it was a very, very strong ritual. And then he was working with these wolves, and at the end he said, because your case is very difficult, I called my most powerful force, the wolf, and only with his help I managed to help you.
Zoya could talk about the seven drums that her great-grandmother on her father's side had, just to a teaching about the drums, the significance of the drums.
Да, Одри, вопрос очень такой интересный, хороший, в том плане, что моя бабушка была очень сильной шаманкой, поэтому у меня есть чем сравнивать, да, есть вот, я вижу настоящих шаманов, которые есть, ну, есть, сейчас это модно и востребовано, и вижу людей, которые, ну, как бы косят под шаманов.
Одри, mm-hmm. Well, this is a very special question. Thank you for this. And the, because I have told you that my ancestors, and I remember my grandmother, and in my life, I have seen real shamans who have the right to use a drum. And the, I can compare with the so-called New Age shamans who are drumming, who are shaking, and this is just, you pay and you will get whatever you want. This is just a show. That's what I would like to compare.
Да, и хочу сказать, что сейчас очень модно стало, бубны везде продаются, как туристические сувениры и так далее. И люди налево-направо дарят друг другу, вот приезжают на Алтай, что надо купить.
Хаос приносит.
Да, и привозят домой, не думая, что они завезли домой что.
And I want to underline another very important thing. The people managed to preserve Altai. Tourism is developing today, and this is good if it is civilized tourism. And today there are very many shopping kiosks on the way to Altai, in Altai. And the people there suggest the so-called drums, shaman drums, with a lot of paintings on them, and they drum, they attract the people, buy them. And some people buy and start drumming, but this is very bad what they're doing, because what they can bring, they bring chaos. They are disturbing spirits, they're disturbing nature.
In a shamanic way, in the traditional way of the Altai wisdom keepers, the drums had to be earned and represented different passages as they grew, is that not correct?
Я скажу, что папин род это истинные шаманы, то есть у них вот шаман на шамане, да. Вот папе, когда было 6 лет, он видел последний раз бабушку, вот во время репрессий, революции же ее как бы арестовали. Вот она, папина бабушка, у нее было 7 бубнов. А сильные шаманы держат, ну, дырявят, бьют. До седьмого, вот моя это получается прабабушка, да, или папина бабушка, это моя прабабушка.
As Zoya said before, that she belongs to the lineage of shamans. And the grandmother of her father was 6 years old. It was at the end of the 20s, 1920s. And at that time, so shamanism was completely forbidden, of course. And that is why, and she, the grandmother, she had a right, and she had seven drums. Of course, with all her life, with all her serving the people, she deserved this drum. And she said that the son of that, he would tell her that she had a drum, but she would never, ever bring the drum to their house or ayin where they lived. She would keep it somewhere in the forest, hidden under the branches of cedar, sacred cedar, because cedar is considered to be sacred in our time.
Я бы не хотела просто своего примера, да, вот сегодня, чтобы прошлое не сходить. Я была недавно, меня пригласили подруга, да, у подруги внук родился.
На Алтае?
Нет, здесь в Новосибирске, да. И внуку, значит, 2 месяца. Ребенок спит по 20 минут, и она говорит.
So Zoe has given one very good example. Some time ago, a friend of hers came to visit Zoya, and she told her that she is a grandmother of a child. The child at that time was 2 months old, and the problem was that the child would sleep 20 minutes. He would sleep 20 minutes and then again crying and arising and doesn't want and can't sleep. Then maybe again 20 minutes and again the problem. So Zoya visited them, and what she saw, the baby was sleeping in a big room, and what she saw on the walls of this room. On one wall, there was a drum. A real drum was hanging on a wall. Opposite this drum, there was a paw of a bear hanging somehow. It was settled there. And so what happened? Poor baby was between these energies. So when drum, let's say drum has a spirit, when drum felt energy of the bear, it starts rocking or emanate energies. Of course, the baby is so subtle, the energy is so subtle, he cannot sleep. So Zoya told them, please take away this. They did it, and baby fell asleep. She has been with the family for 3 hours. He has been sleeping all the time.
What often is misinterpreted is that everything that you see, everything has energies, and it takes years and years of learning to be able to master that energy and to understand how that energy works. I was reading about the Siberian princess and 2,500 years old that was removed. I'm assuming it was from the Republic of Altai or close by. And it made me remember a time that on the world, we walked around the world, took us 3.5 years, but we arrived in Hawaii. And we were going out to visit the sacred site, and we saw some elders on the side of the road. When we got there, there was someone from the state, the government, and they were going to build a bridge across this land. And the land in the area where they wanted to build the bridge was a sacred burial ground. So we... You know, our ancestors often guide us to be certain places, I'm sure. We just happened to walk up on that, and so we took out our cameras and began to record, and we stood with the elders, and the person with the government eventually backed down, and talking to his counterpart, his government agency, they decided to have a hearing before anything else was done. And I'm sharing that because of the importance of preservation of sacred sites. And when I was reading about the Siberian princess, I wanted, and her being removed and not returned, but now in a, what is the feeling of the people about that kind of desecration of a sacred site?
Моя бабушка говорила по Алтаю так, неважно, примем ли мы Алтайцы, главное, дух Алтая, земля Алтая приняла. Да? Ну, вот такой пример скажу.
Okay, я переведу. So, she is going to give an example of her grandmother, the great shaman. And she said, she used to say, more and more people would come to Altai, and it doesn't matter how we people accept those tourists or newcomers. What is very much important, how Altai spirits would welcome, would accept a person.
Mm-hmm. Пример такой, вот я вожу людей на обиуху, да, и на первый взгляд кажется, вот толпа идет, 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 вот кому надо, кому не надо, кто-то бросает чего-то, кто-то там матом идет, кто-то пьяный, кто-то так далее. Но когда приходя люди на обиуху, и когда они побыли три солнечных...
Около обиухи.
Да, около обиухи, да, mm-hmm. прибывать.
I'd like to thank our very special guests, Zoya and Galina, for sharing so much of the Altai indigenous wisdom with us. It was a very full interview, and there was even more to the interview, and perhaps one day we'll get a chance to play some of that. But I wanted to give you a sense of the breadth of work that Zoya is doing and the sharing of that knowledge that as we travel from Peru to Hawaii to Vancouver, the Dakotas, and now to Russia, to the sacred land of Altai, we are finding certain similarities, the relationship with nature, the connection to language, the preservation of culture and sacred sites. And as we move around the world, we'll see this list beginning to build and the integration coming forward that will help us as we are centered right now in many places around the world to understand how important it is to be mindful of some of the ways that indigenous people have lived with the earth that allowed a sustainable and quality life. On March 20th, my guests will be pagan elders Dawn Pugh and Rachel Watcher of the Covenant of the Goddess. I want to invite you to join us on Indigenous Voices on March 20th, again for pagan elders Dawn Pugh and Rachel Watcher. Until then, have a wonderful 2 weeks. Continue to open yourself to learn so much about the richness of the Indigenous and traditional people all over the world, and even to awaken in you a curiosity about the fact that Indigenous really means from this place. What place are you from? What are your Indigenous roots? And how learning about that might answer some questions that you may have about yourself in the world in which you live today. So until March 20th, have a wonderful 2 weeks.
Welcome to the United Religions Initiative, Global Indigenous Initiative, and Now Time Radio's presentation of Indigenous Voices. Indigenous Voices airs every other Thursday on Now Time Radio at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Indigenous Voices features Indigenous artists, activists, wisdom keepers, and spiritual leaders raising their voices to bring messages from an Indigenous perspective on cultural heritage, women and children, the environment, our relationship to Mother Earth, preservation of sacred sites, human rights, spirituality, religion, and interfaith. The United Religions Initiative is a global grassroots interfaith network that cultivates peace and justice by engaging people to bridge religious and cultural differences and work together for the good of their community and the world. To join the call during Indigenous Voices on Now Time Radio, call 424-243-9656. You may also live stream or listen to the podcast at any time at www.blogtalkradio.com/nowtimeradio.